This is Radio Influence. This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. This week, we head into a big December of mixed martial arts, both regionally and nationally, and speak with a great lineup of guests. And as always, Valor Fights President Tim Loy will address your questions during the Valor Hour Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, it's getting cold outside, but it's hotter than hot inside the cage.
Yeah, man, it's we're starting to get ramped up for this next run. We've had our holidays. We've got Christmas coming up, of course, but you know, we're really starting to get things in order, you know, for the first of the year. So we're excited.
All right, Tim, we are also joined by two of our esteemed colleagues, gut man turned fighter Mark Laws and photography magic man Alan Poole. Gentlemen, how are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Doing great. Great to be here.
Mark, how's the training?
Ooh, I'm bruised from head to toe, but it feels oh so good.
Well, you got to protect those toes, man. You only got 10 of them. Let's get on to the news. Bellator 189 goes down this Saturday, December 1st, resonating from the Windstar Casino and Resort there in Thackerville, Oklahoma. And a few things that kind of stand out. Of course, Don Rickles making his 19th appearance at Bellator. That sets a record. And, of course, the main event, Julia Budd taking on Arlene Blankow. That is a rematch. And Julia Budd, of course, she is on an 8-fight streak of her own, 4 of those in Bellator. Tim, what do you think about this big main event?
I think it'll be all action, but I still got to lean with Bud. I think that she's just been in there with and beaten such top competition. I got to lean that way.
Well, in addition to that, we have a big co-main event: middleweight Rafael Lovato Jr. taking on Chris Honeycutt. And of course, on down the list, we got Chidi Nchikwane taking on Hisaki Kato. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Dave Rickles taking on Adam Piccolotti. Guys, any of these fights stand out?
I think, it's always exciting to see the strikers. So I think Njikwani and Kato will be a good fight. And then I think, Rickles always puts on an exciting show. So it's cool to see him step in. He's done that a lot for Bellator. So I think that'll be another good one. Lovato and Honeycutt, it's an interesting style match. Honeycutt's got such good wrestling. We may see Lovato finally, meet his match here.
Not to be outdone, the UFC ramps things up with back-to-back nights this weekend. We start out with the Tough 26 finale this Friday, December 1st, and that resonates from the Park Theater in Las Vegas. And, of course, big things to come here. One name that really stands out is Gerald Meerschaert, of course, a veteran of Valor Fights. And, of course, he from there and went on to do huge things there in the UFC. Tim, what's your take on the finale?
We don't know a whole lot about it yet. I think they've announced like 6 fights, 7 fights. I'm sure after tonight's episode of The Ultimate Fighter, that card will be fleshed out some more. But, we know that Nico Montoya is an upset. I know that she's like beating two girls that she wasn't supposed to beat. She's in the finals and, waiting to find out if it's going to be Modafari or Eubanks. So that'll be, the main event, and either way, I think that'll be a good fight. And, of course, always excited to watch Meerschaert compete. He's very exciting and skilled on the ground, as his opponent is as well, Ryan James, on this one. But I think Meerschaert's a little more well-rounded and does have the better stand-up. So I think I expect to see a win out of him. And excited to see Sean O'Malley, who kind of really stood out on the Contender Series. He's undefeated, and yeah, he's taken on Tarion Ware. I think from Rufus Port, so that's going to be another good one. So it's a decent little card. I mean, it's nothing too stellar, but I mean, it's free.
Mark, you got your money on Gerald Meerschaert in this one?
Oh, of course, man. My money's always on Gerald. He's a savage, you know. One of my other homeboys, Brett Johns from Wales, is also fighting.
That's right.
Undefeated, 17-0, maybe 16-0. But he's a fucking beast, bro. And I worked with him at Titan. He's a fucking animal, man.
That's a good fight. Him and Joe Soto is a good fight.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, Friday night's big. Saturday night's going to be even bigger. UFC 218 live from the Little Caesars Arena in Detroit, Michigan. And it's the one everybody's been waiting on. Max Holloway taking on Jose Aldo in that big rematch. And that, you know, I'm pretty excited for it. I'm Max Holloway so reinvigorated. Jose Aldo, you know, not looking bad in his last performance, but, you know, he's not the legend maybe that he once was. What do you think, Tim?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, at one time, I think people would see this as a completely other way that Aldo is head and shoulders better in a big favorite. But now I think Max Holloway is viewed as the big favorite here. So Holloway has really come alive and is very, so exciting. And just, you know, Aldo has started to sputter a little bit. So, you know, I definitely go with Max Holloway here. It's a good card. I'm excited for it. They'll get my money.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Alistair Overeem is, you know, in action. Sergio Pettis taking on Henry Cejudo. And Eddie Alvarez against Justin Gaethje.
That's awesome. Then, that's the fight.
Yeah, and Tisha Torres and Michelle Waterson. That's one I've kind of, you know, wanted to see there. You know, two talents, you know, kind of at the top of their game. Felice Herrig and Courtney Casey as well, more WMMA talent.
Paul Felder and Charles Oliveira.
Yes.
I said Paul Felder and Charles Oliveira, too. That's another really
undoubtedly,
good
one. Undoubtedly. And what else? What else stands out to you, Tim?
Yancy Medeiros, teammate of Max Holloway, who was really impressive last time against Cowboy Alex Oliveira, who's also been looking good and, you know, beat Tim Means. That's another good fight. And that's pretty much the I think, Alan Crowder, you know.
That's what I was going to say. Alan Crowder's a guy that we know very well here in the Southeast, and he's kind of a knockout machine, you know. It kind of started out slow, you know. His losses were there early in his career. He bounces back. You know, he was in that first Bellator Monster Energy event there in Charlotte, moved on to the Contender Series. We got a big finish, and then now he's in the big show. And so, you know, all eyes are on him. So, you know, he has a chance to do some big things because he is such a big guy. Now, Alan, what stands out for you in this card?
Man, the one that I want to see the most is the heavyweights here, man, because I want to see what Francis Ngannou, I'm not sure how you say that. Nagasaki and Overeem, because I want to see, you know, like if he can get past Overeem, like, who's going to stop him at that point? Yeah. So that's that. But I have my eyes, like, I'm willing to throw down money on this one. Tim and I already talked about this, right? So if I'm willing to throw some money down to watch a pay-per-view, that's how you know I'm into it.
And to close out the UFC discussion, following up his controversial incident a few weeks back at Bellator 187, Conor McGregor got in a bar fight this week. And some are saying he's in hot water. McGregor allegedly punches the father of a high-ranking officer in the Irish Mafia, setting off all sorts of bells and whistles. Fellas, I got to ask you, are we looking at an elaborate hoax here, or is Conor losing his mind?
Oh, man, I don't know. I've been reading some crazy stories. Like, there's some, like, bad guys after him now, too.
Man, I tell you what, when it comes to gangsters, and especially the Irish gangsters, you don't fuck with them, man. You do not fuck with them. So if it's real, if this is real, he's going to have to pay them off, or he's going to have to do something. You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing the Irish mob does not do is bow their knee to anyone under any circumstances. So I don't know. I'm just saying, if it's real, man, he's fucked.
Mark, what do you think, man?
Listen, man, that guy's rich as fuck, man. I don't think they could reach him if they wanted to. He voluntarily showed up at that bar and whipped that dude's ass on some retribution shit. That shit happens. Real life. That shit happens in Johnson fucking City, bro. It's just part of life. And they ain't reaching Connor, man.
But there's some people that are untouchable, dude. There's some people.
Yeah,
that
it's called Connor fucking McGregor. He's way more untouchable than these mafia folks. He's made $100 million, bro. He's made $100 million. You don't think he's got people sitting at his fucking door?
But he's but these are fucking crazy murderous thug motherfuckers, man. Like they don't care about that
who
shit.
Who isn't Alan? Alan, who isn't?
All right.
Well, only time will tell. And of course, Dana White saying today that there's a chance that Conor McGregor may never fight again, which only, of course, teases his return to mixed martial arts action even more. Now, that does it for UFC discussion. Now, let's move on to the real deal. And we're talking about Valor Fights. And, of course, Valor Fights 47 was announced for the Knoxville Coliseum. That'll be January 6th. And we've got a big, you know, big card ahead of us. Of course, Stephen Haig and Jason King has already been announced. But names like Sid Wheeler, Michael Nakagawa, Shante Barnes, these are names we've seen a lot of on the pro side. These are legends that are making a return. Also on the amateur side, we've got names like AJ Johnson, former UT football standout. Fatini Kandris is back. Yancy Alcantara. And the list goes on and on. Tim, talk about it, man.
Man, I'm really getting stoked for it. You know, it's it's definitely a cool thing to kick off the first of the year working with several good, you know, rescues here in the Knoxville area, At Risk Intervention and Go North, and so many more dog rescues. So we're really stoked to raise funds for them and kick off the year with, you know, what's going to be a really solid card, you know, like, already talking about Jason King and Stephen Haig, which is, you know, a great local matchup there with two guys that need a win. You know, Sid Wheeler is going to be taking on what I promise will be a very exciting opponent. I mean, this fight will be fireworks. We've got a guy coming in. We've got a team coming in that is not, to my knowledge, this will be the first time that anyone in this region has hosted this team. And so we're really, really excited to bring them in, and they'll be taking on some of the top guys, you know, and I can give more details hopefully by this time next week, but I assure you the guy that we've got for Sid will be a war. We're working on you know, a couple other fights as well, you know, with a couple of that guy's teammates, and you know, Shante Barnes, always exciting to have, the debut of AJ Johnson, and you know, several two or three female fights at least, you know, maybe even four. So it's really shaping up to be a great way to kick off 2018.
Hey, Mark, of course, what you've seen in the Valor 47 lineup, what are you most excited for?
Man, those WMMA matchups have my shit peaked, man. You know, AJ Johnson, God almighty, that I met that guy. That guy's a humongous human being. he's a whole different animal, man. And that's just what you're starting to see around MMA, is those guys that come from football or just natural athletic guys, man, and they're just put together, you know. I'm just fortunate I'm not having to fight a put-together guy like that. I'm very happy.
Well, it's Ovince St. Preux 2.0, essentially what exactly. It is. I mean, it could possibly, you know, that's what everyone's saying. It's the second coming of events. So, yeah, very, very excited. And, of course, Eric Anders, another one that you know, has gone on to do big, huge things there in the UFC. So we are very, very excited to see AJ Johnson, man. You can only imagine what in the next 2 or 3 years what we're going to see from him. Now, that being said, the road does not end there. We're already announcing. I guess we're announcing it officially here, right? February 8th, Valor 48, Border Wars 2.
Woo!
And that is live from the Corbin Arena. Of course, we were all there for Border Wars 1, and it was a sellout, man. You know, hanging off the rafters of that massive Corbin Arena, and so much fun. A lot of energy there from those fans, Tim.
Yeah, we're really stoked to come back to Corbin, and you know, this will be the first like official Valor show in Kentucky, but you know, I've got, you know, I'm street legal up there now. So, you know, I'm excited that this will be our first actual event there. And we'll still be working with Jimbo. You know, Jimbo, no longer the owner of Warrior, but will still be our, will be working with us on that event, kind of handling the Kentucky side of the card. So we're really excited about some of the potential matchups that can start to take shape here in the coming weeks. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, another fun show.
Mark, you ready to take it to the hills of Kentucky, brother, to do big things?
I am, man. I'm excited it's a Valor show, not necessarily a co-promotion. I think that might help levy my position a little bit, but, you know, it is what it is, man. I do this every weekend of my life almost. So, you know, once I get this whole fighting gig out the way, you know, I mean, I'm still working the same night I fight. So I don't mind, you know, the work's the work. I'm happy to put it in.
So anyway, going to be big times and very, very excited for it. And that wraps up the news for this episode, which means it's time for this week's Valor Hour Q&A segment. And we have a great list of questions from our listeners this week. So without further ado, Tim, let's get down to it.
Okay.
We got the tough finale coming up Friday. Tim, have you been watching this season, and are you watching Friday?
I have been watching this season, and I guess I'll watch Friday. I mean, shit, you can bet on it, and it's live, so I'll be watching it. It's not anything that takes my breath away, but, you know, there's a few interesting fights, like we talked about, the Mearshart's fighting, that's cool, and I think that O'Malley and Ware fight would be good, and, Brett Johns and Joe Soto, there's some okay fights, it's whatever.
Okay. Well, are you surprised to see Tuff still on? Quickly name the last fighter who came off the show who's making waves in their division now.
Oh, wow. I'm not that surprised that it's still on because, you know, it seems like it gets good ratings. I am a little surprised that it's still in the format that it is. But, you know, they're trying to switch it up and tweak it with little things that will, make it kind of new or make it kind of stand out from previous seasons. But what I anticipate most likely is I would think that eventually maybe they'll transition this contender series to that being more the, you know, what it is, you know, more like weekly fights like that. That's what I would with up and coming contenders a shot like that. I think.
All right, now Tim, let's not get ahead of yourself because you're murky in the waters here with my questions.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I said, well, I don't read them.
I know. Tim, next question. Do you have any ideas like contender series that could possibly replace Tough, or any ideas producers could use to freshen up Tough as it is today?
Oh, that's a good question. I would love to have just the opportunity to try to, you know, spin our creative wheels in that direction and see what we could do. But, I don't know that I really have any ideas that would make the current format. You know, they're trying to do different things right now by, you know, doing the undefeated gimmick coming up, or the, you know, all the people were champions of other organizations. So, I mean, that's, they're doing about all they can with it, I guess, right now. But I would like to see, in like boxing, you constantly have just these little whatever cards, these Friday night fights, and just kind of weekly action. You know, I'd like to see, the UFC kind of keep that contender series thing rolling year round, where, you know, they've always kind of got that little crop of up and comers to kind of keep an eye on. I think that would, you know, in turn help regional MMA, because you're going to have more and more of your regional promotions getting those fighters onto that type of show with, you know, more and more exposure.
I'll say this too, from a fighter's perspective, I've known a number of people that have been on The Ultimate Fighter, and it's always, you know, it can be mixed viewpoints, because some people, they really connect to that, some, like, especially the Ronin fighters, where they can just roll in there and they can work with these coaches, but the coaches don't always mesh with the fighters, even if the skill is there. Sometimes the whatever coaches they've selected, they may not mesh with the other fighters on their team or in the house, and so that experience can sometimes set up a negative downward spiral of their career. Whereas the contender series, you're still training, you're doing everything that you normally would, you're getting a pretty good payday, and then you go in and you get to fight on national television. So it's I think that these days, of course, Ultimate Fighter really was in the foundation of the reality, TV show, for years. I think that maybe we're just seeing a little bit of an evolution, because, there's a lot to be invested there in The Ultimate Fighter. What is your take on it, Mark?
Man, I agree with you 100%, Casey. I think the Contender Series is the next move for it. It's, you know, housing those guys in Vegas has to be expensive, you know, and if you can stop that and just have guys coming out of different regions for certain matchups, it's got to be cost effective. It only makes sense financially and competition wise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I didn't mean to get off track too much here. Of course, this is Tim's time and Tim's questions. But you know, that's what this is all about. Next question. For events like Strikefest 2, do you like doing hybrid MMA / kickboxing events, or is it more out of necessity?
No, you know, it's weird. I don't think we've gotten to the point where we just have to flesh out cards with kickboxing because we have to take up time, you know, because, you know, looking at this card right now, I think we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 tie fights when they're all amateur now. And so you take away those four, you still got seven MMA and three pro, you got a 10 fight card. So no, we don't necessarily like, they're certainly not a necessity, but we just have a lot of people that want to fight tie fights right now, you know, with us, you know, with the advanced rules, it's really becoming more and more aesthetically pleasing, and guys just are kind of wanting to do that. And so it's really in that context, it is kind of a necessity because you got guys, there's a demand for it.
Yeah. And a lot of teams use the Muay Thai as a catalyst to launch them into mixed martial arts. It's a good training tool, if you will, grappling tournaments as well. But that being said, many of these tie fights stand alone. You would never want to tell DJ Miller something like that to his face. you know, okay. So moving on, which MMA fight, and we're talking about Strikefest 2, which MMA fight are you most excited for, and which Muay Thai bout are you most excited about?
Which MMA bout on Strikefest I'm most excited about? Am I limited to only amateurs or the whole thing?
I think it's the whole thing.
Okay. I guess I've got to say, man, how can I not say Mark? You know, I'm most excited for Mark's MMA fight, is from just a personal standpoint. As far as just like from the fight, you know, what fight do I think is just going to be, you know, awesome. I think the main event is going to be great. I think, you know, New and Nate Williams there's no way that fight can be bad. I think both guys are going to keep a good pace, and it's going to be great, you know, great to watch. And as far as my pick for the tie fight, I'm going to say, man, that's a tough one. I'm going to go with, the big guys. I'm going to go with Gary Paul, who we've got an opponent change, which we haven't even announced yet, but we'll go ahead and give you all that scoop here tonight, too. Dustin Johnson steps in for Timothy Blevins against Gary Paul, and I think this will actually be a pretty good little slobber knocker because, you know, Dustin's MMA record isn't good, but people take him down, and he's a pretty tough, you know, corn-fed country boy that can bang, and Gary's tough, too, so I actually think that'll be a really good one.
Yeah, definitely. We saw Gary's fight back at Strikefest 1, and it was vicious. You know, it was bloody and brutal, and he fought, of course, with Brock Walker. And then Dustin, you know, he went out there slinging his hands at Fozzie, at Garrett Fosdick, back at the first VFW fight night. So, yeah, definitely, I think that you're right. That one's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Final question. Can you give us any info about Valor Fights 47?
You know,
talked a little bit. Yeah.
What's that?
Well, we talked a little bit about it earlier.
Yeah, we kind of already went over a little bit. You know, I mean, by this time, I don't know if it's already announced or not, but Stephen Haig and Jason King is going to be a part of that card. Probably the feature bout. Sid Wheeler will be in the main event. We'll be going for our 170 title, and we can't announce his opponent yet, but it will be a guy from a top level team that has not been in this area before, and it will be a striker's delight, if you will. So, you know, we got the AJ Johnson debut, and he'll be taking on a guy named CJ Baker out of the North Georgia area, who's like 6'7" himself. He's a giant. He's actually a guy that I've really struggled. He's looking to make his debut too, and he's been trying to get a match for months, and I've had a really hard time getting heavyweights to fight this guy, honestly, just because he's a really big, tall guy. So he was more than willing and like thrilled to fight AJ. So you know, that's going to be you know, an exciting amateur fight, and lots more. Like I said, we've got several female fights in the works, and you know, it's it should really start coming together. And this by this time next week, when we're on here, we should really have some official stuff we can hash out.
Awesome. Well, that does it for another Valor Hour Q&A segment. And remember, listeners, send in your questions each week, and Tim Loy will answer those right here on the air. And with that being said, it is time to move on to three big interviews this week. We are joined by Nathan Williams, 6-3 professional fighter, who just made waves with his victory over Cromwell Stewart at Valor Fights 46. He prepares to headline Strikefest 2 December 16th as he faces Stephen New. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us.
Once again, it's a pleasure. The pleasure's all mine. I appreciate you for having me.
Always, man. This is our second time now here on the Valor Hour. Hasn't been too long since we talked to you last, but before we get into new business, we'll close out old business. You know, last time before we spoke, you're getting ready to face off with Midget Dynamite Cromwell Stewart in Nashville, in his hometown, as a number one contender fight to move on to the featherweight championship fight for our first ever professional champion at 145. You won that fight with a bulldog choke in the first round. Before we move on to what's coming up, let's kind of rehash that. Talk about that fight a little bit. Did it go about like what you expected? You know, your first time on a Valor show yourself. You've been cornering some guys, but your first time, you know, in the Valor cage. Just talk a little about the fight and the experience.
It went about exactly I expected. Actually, I kind of disappointed myself. You probably can't tell from the video, but I didn't find my range. I couldn't find my range like I wanted to. A lot of the punches that may have looked like they landed clean, or you know, they didn't land, I guess, as clean as I wanted them to. So I was struggling to find my range, but I guess I had found my range enough, too much for his liking. So he went on ahead and, you know, shot for the takedown, which was the ultimate demise. You know, it was demise. But yeah, I knew the fight was going to go exactly how it was. I knew I was either going to walk him down and set my takedown up with my strikes, or I was going to strike and then make him shoot. And then once again, you know, capitalize off that. So yeah, it wasn't exactly his plan. I mean, I besides the bulldog choke was just spur of the moment, but everything else, yeah, it was exactly his plan.
Well, that was a huge win. And of course, you were going to go on to be in the finals of that tournament. But for now, you're going to take a break from the featherweight division. You're going to move on up to the lightweights. And it's going to be December 16th. And you're going to be facing a veteran in his own right, Stephen New, a guy that in this region is very, very well known. He's been around for many, many years. We're talking probably since 2006, 2007, a long, long time. And he has a pretty good record there coming in. Talk about this fight and this matchup.
I'm excited. It's, like I said, it's coming to his hometown, so I already know what the atmosphere is going to be like, what the crowd's going to be like, and I embrace the entire thing. I like silence in crowds, so be expecting for the crowd to be silenced at the end of the fight. They will be, you know, they'll be hurt, they'll be disappointed, and, you know, it'll be nothing that they'll be able to do about it, but just, you know, tell them it's okay, Steven. You'll get it next time. That's it. But I'm coming in, you know, same thing. Like I said, they got to worry about me. They worried about who Nate is, who, you know, I mean, I'm not like I said, I'm not cocky. I'm not conceited, but I'm just confident. And I know, you know, like I said, 2018, I'm going to be in the UFC. So he's just another guy in the way.
You're taking this fight here at 155 instead of your normal 145. That said, Stephen New has fought a lot of his fights at 145 as well. You know, what played into moving? You know, I know this is kind of a short turnaround fight, and around the holidays, is that pretty much why the jump up to 55 and knowing essentially that your opponent isn't really a massive 55 himself?
Yeah, exactly. 45 is it's hard for me to make. I mean, I make it. And, you know, I come in, you know, make it all the time. When I need to make championship weight, I make the championship weight. But, I mean, it's a task when you make 45. It takes about six to 8 weeks that I have to diet out just to be able to be in striking range to make 45. But 55 is like, I can make 55. I don't know if I should be saying this, but I can. I'm like 6 pounds away from 155 right now. So, I mean, 55, yeah, that's, holidays are coming up. I want to enjoy, you know, I love fighting, but I also want to enjoy the holidays for a little bit. So, 55, yeah, that's the reason why. And I think that's a good matchup because he's also fought at 45 as well. So, I look at it as two guys who don't really want to cut that much weight during the holidays, but still want to put on a good show. So.
Well, Nathan, we are joined here by Mark Laws, and of course, you know Mark very well. But he, you know, something that's very interesting to note is that he's going to be making his mixed martial arts debut on this event. I don't know if you've seen all the headlines and so forth. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm getting Mark to ask the question, but I'm going to ask you, get you to ask him, a question. How it feels, give some insight to Mark on your world here.
I guess Mark. So what's camp been like? What's the preparation for this fight? What are things you've been doing to get ready? Exactly. I mean, don't give your secrets, but
no, I'm not giving away no secrets.
Eating donuts and sausage.
I'm lucky that I started out around 205 pounds. Without Tim Lloyd telling me they would look prettier on Tapology at a light heavyweight bout, I'd probably taken this fight at 215. But, I was already close to fighting weight already. So, with that, I've been putting it in with D3, just getting it in. Man, I'm not intimidated at all by this guy. I feel like I run through this fool. But, you got to take everybody seriously, man. I mean, when another grown man standing across from you trying to kill your ass, there's certain precautions you have to take. So, that's, I'm in there daily. It's, so far I'm very sore, but it's going to end up with my hand raised. And that's all that matters.
I like it.
Nice. Very cool.
Like
real quick, Nathan, I'm going to give you a chance. Go ahead and give some shout outs where they're due. And then, of course, your social media plugs, and then anything you want to leave us with.
You already know. Shout out to the big man upstairs because, God, because without him, nothing is possible. And I'm just at all. Shout out to my wife. Of course, she, cooks my meals, keeps me. She's the reason why I make weight, for real. Y'all think it's easy.
Yeah.
Coach is my drive now. She's the reason why I make weight. Shout out to my team. You already know. X3 Sports, X3 TV is a movement. Every time we come, we impress, we show out. And when we leave, they remember who we were. They remember the name. They remember who we are. So, once again, it's going to be the same thing. My team, my coaches, Tony Tucci, Gabriel Katiba, Bruno Frazzato. I'm actually getting my brown belt this weekend. So, that's just, another thing. Shout out to my team. Social media, you already know, Nate_MMA on Instagram. Stone Mountain Shawty on Twitter. I got to change that, but right now Stone Mountain Shawty was my Twitter from college. So Stone Mountain, everybody know I'm from Stone Mountain. So STNMTN_SHAWTY Shawty. Yeah, I know. But and then on Facebook, Nathan Williams. That's it.
All right, Nathan.
I'm here. I'm ready.
Nathan Williams returns to action December 16th as he faces Stephen New at the top of the card. Strike Fest #2. Get your tickets now. And Nathan, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate y'all.
We are joined by Big Mike Thomas, a veteran boxer and mixed martial arts competitor, making his pro MMA debut December 16th at Strike Fest 2, facing Jeremiah Harper. Mike, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, it's all good. It's a privilege. Honor.
Now we're getting around to we've been on the air enough now, Casey, where we're starting to get almost everybody for their second time. So this is Big Mike's second time. So welcome back to the Valor Hour. Always an entertaining, charismatic guest we have with Big Mike. Since the last time we saw you, you have now made your pro boxing debut. You got a draw on that one against Rico Rawson. Now you'll cross over and do your pro MMA debut. Talk a little bit about the matchup, and you know, you're fighting Jeremiah Harper. It's also his pro MMA debut, and you guys are already been talking a little bit of talk. And you know, I think that, you know, if you guys slug it out on the feet, then like you know, I think a lot of people are hoping will happen. I think that the crowd is in for a deceptively good time.
Oh yeah. He might want to keep it on the feet, which I don't care wherever it goes. I'm going to have fun. One thing he said, I wasn't going to be able to showboat. Y'all know that's all I do, especially when it's somebody that's talking trash. Like he said, I don't have anything to bring to the table. He's lost his mind. I can't wait to cut up on him. I can't wait. But,
you know,
like I tell everybody, I said, y'all look at the boxing, but y'all forget about everything else that I can do. I didn't make it to the national tournament from boxing. It was MMA, and it was the first one to ever reach Tennessee. I might have lost in the second round, but I still made it, and I look good making it. And on the 16th, I'm going to look good shining on Harper.
You know, you guys hold a mutual opponent in Brock Walker. Now, of course, we saw you back in action at 50-50 Fight Night, number one there in the main event, and you guys brought a war. Everybody was bleeding, and it was, you know, it really delivered what the fans wanted. Now, of course, Jeremiah Harper, he had a similar battle with Brock Walker, you know, several years back, and it, of course, you know, produced fireworks. Now, bringing it together, I'm sure you've watched that fight. You've watched, you know, the background and everything. So what do you think as far as, you know, stylistically, what are you going to tell the fans they're going to see from a fan's perspective, you know, as far as the way, you know, you guys come to fight?
Me, you're going to see me like I always do, poised, you know what I'm saying? You're going to see him rushing in, throwing those wild haymakers. He'll probably throw at the slowest, I mean the slowest spinning back fist in MMA history. But I don't know how Brock got hit with it, but he's not going to hit me with it, even though how much he says he is, it'll never touch me. And I'm going to be in there shucking and jiving, Ollie shuffling, and sticking him with the jab. I might even turn an MMA fight into a boxing match. That's how much confidence I got in myself. I ain't doubting him, but he ain't even on my level. He can think that his ground game is better than mine, but it's not. I can lay on my back and I can still get up, and he still won't be able to submit me. He's in for a long, long night. I'm going to have fun, though.
Very, very cool. We also have Mark Laws. You know this, Mike. Mark Laws getting ready to make his MMA debut on the same night. Do you got any words of wisdom for him?
Yes, just keep doing what you was doing that with me yesterday, because me and Mark, we sparred yesterday, and he surprised me. Mark hit me a little bit more than I thought he was going to. He was throwing leg kicks and everything. He looked good in there. So if that guy thinks that he's just going to come in there and walk over him, it's not going to happen. Just keep doing what you're doing and get cardio up.
Yeah, man. Me and Mike had some fun, dude. We've been having fun every day, really. It's been awesome, man. You learn a lot from these guys that have put in 20 years, you know, and he's such a talented athlete, man. He's such a savage. I mean, Harper's going to have his hands full all night, 100%.
Alan, what is your take on this fight?
Well, first I need to address the fact that Big Mike, man, what's up? You know, what's popping, man? Hey, I hope that you're beating the shit out of Mark. Is this true?
Yeah, I'm kicking his ass, but he's still getting his in.
Okay. Well, I mean, just as long as you're, you know, quote, getting him ready, you know, just know that each time you land a jab that I'm smiling, okay?
That's what's up.
Very cool. Mike, real quick, go ahead and give some shout-outs where they're due. Also, we need to get your social media plugs, and then anything else you can leave us with, some parting words.
Oh, yeah, it's a big shout-out to D3 and to Gavin Walker, everybody that's come to help me prepare for this fight, Big John Hall. man, just everybody. And you can go on social media, find me, Facebook, Mike Thomas with the Stunning Shades on, like always. Y'all know how I do, and just I thank y'all for having me on the podcast for the second time. And just thank you for the opportunity for me to fight again, because I got a whole lot to prove to myself. And it's been a big improvement since y'all seen me the last time. Because pro, I can't slip. So just come out, you know what I'm saying, next month on the 16th, Appalachian Fairgrounds, Strike Fest 2, and watch these fireworks.
All right, it is Mike Thomas, a.k.a. Big Mike, returning to action December 16th at Strikefest 2. That is his pro MMA debut. You got to get your tickets. You don't want to miss it. Mike, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You're welcome, y'all. Have a good night.
We are joined by Lone Wolf Jeremiah Harper, veteran amateur fighter out of Gate City, Virginia. And he is making his pro debut December 16th at Strikefest 2 as he faces Big Mike Thomas. Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, man. Appreciate y'all having me on. I've been listening to y'all's last couple episodes, and it's awesome. I'm glad I'm on here now.
Yeah, for sure, man. Welcome. First time guest. Jeremiah also has his own podcast. I'm going to let you plug that here in a little bit and try to pick up some more listeners for your podcast as well. But to the people that aren't familiar with you, we haven't had you on an event here in a minute, and, since we've been doing the podcast, especially if you want to just kind of give the fans out there a brief rundown about yourself, your background, and kind of everything that's brought you up to this long-awaited pro debut you got coming up.
Okay, the podcast I do is Bad Moon Rising. You can find it on YouTube. The channel name's Bad Moon Rising. You can search it up on Facebook. I got a Facebook page, or you can just look on my personal page and see a link. But a little background about me. I've been competing in MMA, I don't know, about 6 or 7 years, but I've been training about 10. I started when I was 16. The first gym I trained at was East Tennessee Boxing and Grappling, which was Billy Cody, Gene Lady, John Hernholm was over there, Daniel Webb, and them guys. Then after training with them, I went to Team Ironlock and was training with them guys for a few, then ended up with Team Oxidine. Now I'm back with Team Oxidine here recently, training with those guys. So, and I've been fighting. I've had 16, I believe, 15 or 16 fights under my belt. I've had a lot of fights as an amateur. I was the type of amateur that I'd about fight anybody, because in my opinion, as an amateur, that's the best time to learn. That's the best time to fight the best available opponents, because you don't want to, pad your record as an amateur, then get to the pros and meet the real deal and then be shocked that the difference in the level of competition. So I feel like I learned as an amateur. I fought some guys that are amateurs that are professional level fighters, in my opinion. So I think I'm well equipped and ready. I think the time and the way everything's came together perfectly. It's a good opponent for me, matchup and stylistically. So I'm excited.
All right. Well, you're a guy that is always known for hyping a fight. Sometimes, you're talking, sometimes it's from the heart. Sometimes you're out there just trying to stir the pot a little bit. Both times, it's always entertaining. So go ahead and stir the pot a little bit. What do you think about your opponent, Mike Thomas?
Well, here's the deal. Mike Thomas sent me a direct message on Facebook here recently. And, he's like, Jeremiah, I got to come clean to you about something. I was like, what's that, Mike? Go ahead. He said, I'm fat and ugly, and you're big and sexy. So I was like, well, I appreciate that, Mike. Appreciate the compliment. And I appreciate you being honest with me and also being honest with yourself. But here's the deal, man. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Don't worry about all these women I'm pulling. You didn't worry about that.
Oh, man. Oh, sorry.
Me laying a smack down. What was that?
Sorry, I laughed. I laughed so hard.
I was laughing so hard at that.
That's awesome.
I started blue shit all over my face, all over the computer. Sorry.
Yeah, you need not be focusing on me, out here whining and dining. You need to worry about the fight, December 16th, live on Flow Combat for the world to see.
Harper's been working on his promo skills, man. I like it.
The Bad Moon Rises. you know, it's done a lot, man. Talk about that a little bit. Talk about your podcast. And, you know, I mean, it definitely, we were talking about this earlier, you know, in the day about how, you know, it's, you know, working a podcast. I mean, it's good to keep that going on a weekly basis because it makes your verbiage good. You get more comfortable with it. You know, talk about, you know, operating the podcast and you also about your work, you know, of course, working as a firefighter.
Yeah, with the podcast, my podcast format and the way I do it is differently than the Valor Hour. Y'all is more structured with segments. But mine is kind of modeled after the Joe Rogan Experience. I like having people on and having just an open conversation for anything anybody wants to bring up and talk about. I use it as a way for whoever listens to get to know whoever the guest is I have on a different note. You know, I don't want to, you know, I try not to ask the same old questions that everybody always asks them. I mean, I try to get into a deeper, you know, deeper topics, different topics, and let people get a real feel for their personality. As far as the firefighting, yeah, I've been firefighting. December will actually be my 1 year mark as a firefighter, and I love it. Casey, as you know, we talked about it here recently, just, what was it, Monday night, I went and trained with Casey for a couple hours. I came home, I took a shower, ate dinner, and then we got a fire, a structure fire, and I was up to 3 a.m. fighting a structure fire. It's an adrenaline rush. It's a whole lot like fighting, you know, that feeling you get before you make your entrance to the cage. You get that same feeling when you're in the fire truck on your way to a scene because you don't know what you're about to see. You don't know the situation. So, you know, it's an adrenaline rush, and I love it. And the biggest thing is you see some bad things. Sometimes you see death. It happens. But the biggest reward is being able to help people, you know. I got this persona as a bad guy, but honestly, I love people, even though it don't come off as that. If you was in a car wreck and I seen it and I thought you was in danger, even if I wasn't a firefighter, I'd pull over and try to help. You know, that's just the type of person I am, even though people don't, you know, they ain't seen that side of me. So I love it, man. It's a great thing.
Well, you know, of course, we had two other guests on tonight. And I've asked both of those guests already, and so I'm going to ask you. I don't know that if you knew this, but Mark Laws, of course, Cutman Mark Laws, he is making his mixed martial arts debut the same night there on Strikefest number 2, and so I thought that you might have some words of advice for Mark here, being his very first time inside the cage as a competitor.
The best advice I can give is just get at you, you know. I mean, you can train and practice and spar all you want, but once you get in there, it's a different feeling. You got to deal with them nerves that you don't get when you're training, you know what I mean? So it being your first time actually getting there competing, you're going to feel the adrenaline. You're going to feel the nerves. You're going to feel wore out more so. Like, you'll be a minute into the fight, and they'll feel like you've been fighting a lot longer. So just get after and give it to your best and move forward.
Man, I appreciate that. One of the big things about it that you just mentioned is, you know, that adrenaline rush. And that's one of the things I've kind of always prided myself on, you know, from being a open heart surgery nurse to EMT. You know, you don't know what you're rolling up on, man. And when you're on the way there, all it is nerves, you know. And I think you displayed it very perfectly that you don't know. And when sometimes the cream of the crop just rises to the top. It's very, very, it just happens, you know, and I find myself in these situations a lot where you have to put yourself second and make sure that you're helping people, and, man, that's the most rewarding thing for me. So what I'm looking to do is just go in there and do me, you know, and I don't think it can handle it. And, man, I appreciate any advice given, bro. I appreciate it. I've known Harper a long time, man. Me and him, we've been friends. We've been enemies. We've been on every side of the damn fence.
That's true. You're currently training with my opponent right now, aren't you?
I am.
How's he looking? Tell me, is he looking slow? Is he looking ugly?
Man, he's looking the same as he's always looks. Just ugly.
Ugly then, I guess.
Very cool. Alan, any questions for Jeremiah?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say right now that Mark is probably his enemy, even though he's getting secret intel right now. I feel like he's playing mind games because he's training with Big Mike, there's probably some conspiracy shit going on here. That's all I'm saying. But
they call Nick Baker a conspiracy.
Nick Baker. No, man, I look forward to meeting you. You know, look forward to getting some good pics of you, dude. You know, good on you, man.
Now, Alan, this is Alan Who. Sorry about that. I didn't get the last name.
Yeah, my name's Alan Poole. Photographer. Alan, you'll see me eventually.
He's the photographer for Valor Fights.
Yeah, he's really good.
I met him, yeah. So, yeah, I look forward to meeting you, Alan.
Real quick, Jeremiah, go ahead. Going to give all those shout outs where your shout outs are due. Of course, your social media plugs, where we can find you, where we can find your podcast. Go ahead and plug it, you know, when we can listen and where we can find it. And, you know, in any parting remarks that you may have for the Valor Hour.
For the podcast, like I said earlier, you can look up my pages. I got an athlete page, Jeremiah Harper, on Facebook. There'll be links to the podcast page on Larry's Bad Moon Rising. You can check it out that way, or you can search it up on YouTube. I'll be able to find it that way as well. As far as shout-outs go, I want to give a big shout-out to all the first responders out there who puts themselves in harm's way to try to, you know, help other people. Big shout-out to the firefighters, the EMTs, the cops, and all those people, and the military as well that goes overseas and fights for our rights. I also want to give a shout-out to Team Oxidine. I know I've been training here recently the last couple of days, and them guys are whipping me in shape, so I appreciate that a lot. And anybody who supports me, make sure y'all tune in December 16th. If you know, hopefully everybody can make it to the event and watch it live in person. But like I said, I got family and friends in Michigan that will be tuning in on Flow Combat. So either way, y'all can watch it, check it out. Make sure you check it out. And it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. I think the way me and Mike Thomas line up stylistically is going to make for an exciting fight. I know he made a comment about my spinning back fist. You might see me throw 10 spinning back fists in a row because I'm planning on winning at least one.
The Lone Wolf, Jeremiah Harper, returns to action December 16th at Strike Fest 2 as he faces Big Mike Thomas. Get your tickets now. You don't want to miss it. Jeremiah, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate you guys.
That closes out a great lineup of interviews, as well as another episode of the Valor Hour. Remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher, and please share this broadcast. We return here right here next week with a complete recap of the biggest combat sports news from across the globe. Thanks to our great guests and our guest host this week. We're talking about Alan Poole and Mark Laws. For myself, Casey Oxendine, and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, this has been the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence.
Hi, this is David Penzer, former TNA and WCW ring announcer, inviting you to join me on my podcast, Sitting Ringside. We're going to talk to the stars of professional wrestling today and yesteryear. Also, talk to those behind the scenes that have some awesome stories to tell. You're not going to want to miss it. Sitting Ringside with me, David Penzer, can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.